Good morning, everyone. This is Christopher Glenn with the CBS World News Roundup.
I was there. There's nothing left, hardly. There wasn't any town that you could see at all.
The town was Saragossa in West Texas, population less than 200. This morning, at least 33 of them are dead, about 115 others injured in the wake of a tornado. The toll is expected to rise. Most of the victims were crowded into the community center when the twister touched down, attending graduation ceremonies for preschoolers enrolled in the Head Start program. One man, Thomas Lopez, saved his life, but could only stand helpless as the savage storm exploded through his house.
I was outside when I saw this cloud funnel, so I took my family and got in the car and took off for about 15, 20 minutes, and I came back. I went down to where my house was standing. When it was there standing, when I got there, there wasn't anything left, you know, just to sweep out.
This is Jan Carroll of KOSA-TV Odessa in Pecos, Texas. The tiny West Texas town of Saragossa is more accustomed to farming than funnel clouds. Well, now that town has literally been blown off the map. All that's left, some downed powered lines, cars that look more like crushed tin cans. The only indication there was a town here, some street signs lying on the side of the road. Rescue workers cannot go house to house searching for people because there aren't any houses left. The biggest mess is the remains of an old movie theater where a preschool graduation was being held. Walk through that rubble and all you can see are some tiny shoelaces and broken crayons. Most of the town is in shock, but the Reeves County Emergency Response Coordinator is disgusted. He says he's tried and tried to get the community involved in some kind of disaster plan, but nobody seemed to care. Well, now they do, and it's too late. My colleague Bill Spencer covered a hospital and area funeral home.
The bodies of many of the victims of the Saragossa tornado were taken to a local funeral home aboard an old bus turned makeshift morgue. As the bus arrived, relatives, many of them crying, stood in shock as their brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, were unloaded in plastic bags. Across town at the Reeves County Hospital, more sobbing people pouring into the emergency room, there hoping to find a loved one alive. But many were confused when told their relatives had been sent to other hospitals up to 75 miles away. Bill Spencer for CBS News, Pecos.
The New York Times is quoting unidentified American officials in a report which says that U.S. investigators will be permitted to question the Iraqi pilot whose missile attack on the USS Stark left 37 sailors dead. And after yesterday's tearful memorial led by President Reagan, the first member of a three-man Senate delegation, Jim Sasser of Tennessee, is already underway for Bahrain.
It will be our charge to assess methods to improve the security of United States vessels in that region and to determine the extent of cooperative defensive arrangements, if any, that can be made with the nations in the region and also with other allies.
The other senators, John Glenn of Ohio and John Warner of Virginia, will leave for the region in the week ahead. It's 3 minutes past the hour.
The top, the best 4x4 of the year by far. That's the new Nissan Pathfinder, voted best 4x4 of the year by both four-wheeler and four-wheel and off-road magazines. Four-wheel and off-road said,
the Pathfinder rolled along, revealing one positive trait after another until it outstripped the pack.
Pathfinder dominated in overall appearance and fit and finish with a bold, macho design.
True versatility and unparalleled design put Pathfinder squarely at the top.
In overall comfort and appearance, the Nissan was the overwhelming choice.
As for four-wheeler, they raved,
the Pathfinder won every performance section of the 1987 Four-Wheeler of the Year shootout.
First in mechanical, ride and drive, off-road performance, interior and exterior.
Pathfinder won the 1987 Four-Wheeler of the Year award going away.
Four-wheel and off-road and four-wheeler said. Now get down to your Nissan dealer and see it. Pathfinder. 4x4, every other 4x4 would give its eye teeth to be. And the name is Nissan.
The Soviet Union has called home its whaling fleet and announced it will no longer hunt and kill the endangered giants of the sea. The news was a surprise and delight to Peter Dykstra of the Greenpeace Environmental Organization.
All commercial whaling is supposed to have been outlawed as of the beginning of 1986, but the Soviets, along with Japan, with Norway, South Korea, Iceland, and the Philippines, have been in violation of that international agreement, and it's very, very good to see one of the major players announced that it is intending to change its ways. It's a very significant victory.
9 months of painstaking prosecution work building a fraud case against former Labor Secretary Raymond Donovan may go up in smoke this morning after little more than one day of deliberation by the jury. Stephen Reed of our New York radio station, WCBS, has this bizarre story.
Defense lawyers moved for a mistrial following an emotional outburst that's led to a juror's dismissal. A psychiatrist told the judge the woman had suffered an apparent mental breakdown. She disrupted the deliberations, and while clutching a Bible, began chanting the 23rd Psalm. She asked to see a priest, and according to the psychiatrist, flicked water from a glass around the deliberation room. The trial judge this morning will question the other 11 jurors to try to determine if the outburst has impaired their ability to render a fair and impartial verdict. Stephen Reed for CBS News, New York.
The third convict in a week has been executed in the Deep South. Last night, the state of Georgia electrocuted 44-year-old Richard Tucker for the slaying of a retired nurse 9 years ago. 6 minutes after the hour.
This is your captain. Please fasten your seatbelts and prepare to take off with Great American's Investor Advantage.
While on board, open Great American's special one-year CD for $10,000 or more and land a bonus 0.5% interest. Plus, open any checking account and it's free of monthly service charges. When you take off with Great American's Investor Advantage, get a free 2-for-1 PSA coupon. Then you and a friend fly round trip to any of 28 destinations for the cost of one ticket. For business or pleasure, be sure to catch PSA's smile.
A full 0.5% bonus, a CD you can add to, free checking, free 2-for-1 PSA coupon, Great American's Investor Advantage. It flies circles around the competition.
Great American, your Advantage Bank.
Member FSLIC. There is a penalty for early withdrawal. Quantities are limited. This offer expires June 15th.
A 7-foot brass and copper giraffe that once graced Jim and Tammy Baker's living room is just one of the curios you might be able to pick up at an auction in Fort Mill, South Carolina today.
Financially strapped PTL will try to raise at least $1 million later today by auctioning off many of the personal items of deposed television evangelist Jim and Tammy Baker. These are items they bought with church-donated funds, like Tammy's teddy bears and baby grand piano, and Jim's gold bathroom fixtures, and the air-conditioned doghouse for the family animals. The auction is expected to go on for nearly 8 hours, and they're already planning another auction for Baker items sometime in July, including several of his Rolls Royces. Meanwhile, PTL officials say they have located $80 million of the $92 million that auditors had listed as unaccounted for. They're still searching for the remaining $12 million in funds that were donated to the ministry. Bruce Hall, CBS News, Fort Mill, South Carolina.
Grover Washington Jr. kicking it out for 100,000 people in Philadelphia last night. He was joined on the bill by the venerable rock band Chicago at the concert opening the city's We the People 200 celebration of the 200th anniversary of the U.S. Constitution. A very special anniversary in the city by the bay tomorrow, the 50th birthday party of an engineering wonder and a work of art, the world's most famous bridge. John Blackstone has a preview.
For 2 hours, from 6 until 8 in the morning, the Golden Gate Bridge will be closed to cars and opened for partying. It is a time during which the bridge is often shrouded in early morning fog and cold, damp winds off the Pacific. But it is also almost a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. The last time the Golden Gate Bridge was open for pedestrians and closed to cars was on its opening day 50 years ago. A few of those who crossed the bridge for the first time then will be there to do it again. They will see much the same ceremony they saw in 1937. At the southern end of the bridge, the San Francisco side, a golden chain will be cut. At the northern end, a redwood log will be sawn through. And then the early risers will spill onto the bridge, many trying to cross as the Golden Gate has never been crossed before, walking on their hands, jumping on pogo sticks. But the real marvel will remain the bridge itself, 50 years old this weekend. John Blackstone, CBS News, San Francisco.
It's 10 after.